I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Amen. Let's just remain standing and we'll read our scriptures after we're seated. We got. Amen. Let's just remain standing and we'll read our scriptures after we're seated. We got a lengthy little scripture to read, and then that'll just save you standing so much. Father, we thank you for your love and grace. We ask you, Lord, that you would just be with each one of us. We pray that you'd guide us, give us understanding, because in that we know that, Lord, we have what we have need of. Bless the people today. Open our understanding to what's being said. May we look to you, Lord. Bless those that are not with us. You know the reasons why. Father, just take away those reasons and just grant that we all may be together in you. May we all, Lord, look to you and ask your help this day, because without you, there would be no need of us being here. Forgive our sins. Lift us up in understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you'd like to turn to Romans, we've been reading so much in Revelation, but if you turn to Romans, the fourth chapter, we'll read about first 12 verses, and then we'll go to Matthew 24. We've read so much in Revelations 6 there of the first two verses, but you still keep that in mind, because that's what we're speaking on, is on the first seal. And so just keep that in mind, and then we won't have to read that scripture. All of us know it, that should by heart just about it by now, how that there was a white horse rider went riding out, and he had a crown, or had a bow and no arrows, but a crown was given unto him later. So let's just read here. This will be the main thought of it, but we'll still go back to Matthew 24 and pick up and kind of review a little bit this morning, maybe up to a place that we can see. Paul says, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness, even as David describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessing then upon the circumcision," or in other words, upon the Jew, if you're not familiar with Scripture reading that way. "Cometh this blessing then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision," in other words, the Gentiles. See. "Also, for we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision?" Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Now, when did Abraham's faith begin? See, it was way on later in his life before he was circumcised. Circumcision was just an outward sign of the faith that he already had. So it's not Jew or Gentile anymore, is it? It's Christ. The seed singular, and we're part of that. "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also." Now, he received a seal of it. In other words, he got a sign. See, that's what we want to try to speak on. If we can get to it, the Lord willing, this morning. If we don't, we'll get it tonight. On proof of our iniquity being gone. We've spoke a lot on iniquity and things, and now we want to see what the proof of it is of it being gone. then we'll see something from it. See, Abraham received a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision, and the father of circumcision to them who not, are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness which is of faith. Now let's just go then to Matthew. Now we'll get back to that scripture at the end of our message, the Lord willing. But let's go to Matthew 24. If you remember, this is, if you want to put it down, start off reading in the seal book about 4:12. Brother Branham begins to explain, and he says, now here, he read the seal, and then he read in Matthew 24, he said, now here's where Jesus spoke of it, and he said, then now in our day it's revealed. So just keep that in mind, what he's talking about. Now let's read Matthew 24, the first two or three verses. They asked Jesus some questions. And then he got down into the third verse, and he said, and as he sat up on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? Now watch, when shall these things be? When there won't be one stone on another one, you know, left on another. And what shall be the sign of thy coming? Now what's going to be the sign of his coming? And of the end of the world. And Brother Branham said he set out to answer those questions. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now that's verse 5, exactly lays with chapter 6 of Revelation 6:1, when he saw the seal opened and saw a white horse rider going riding out. All right, now then we read here, that there'd be many come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Read that seal then, and read that, and see that that's exactly what we've been trying to cover. I thought we'd just read that this morning, instead of having to read so much on the other. Because now, we saw the mystery of iniquity that was under the first seal, 2 Thessalonians, we've been using that scripture a lot, of the man of sin, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself to be as God. And then we've come down to a place now that we've seen that Brother Branham covered, if you remember the message here a couple of Sundays ago, Brother Branham covered that mystery of iniquity laid in there because he had always used that scripture. See, iniquity, knowing to do good and do it not. It always laid in that scripture where they said, when they come to me, they'll say, I've cast out devils in thy name, done many mighty wonderful works and all. And he said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. And Brother Branham always laid that to you anointed once the end time. He'd always use that scripture and notice it in the anointed once the end time and in the other books right along in that time, he would use that scripture showing that that anointed once the end time is your mystery of iniquity. Now keep that, see, in your mind, because it's to be revealed in the last days. But then we got to studying on iniquity, and we found out that we were products of iniquity. You remember that? I want to just review this morning to make sure you're getting what I'm talking about, because if you're not, then we just keep going over it and over it until we get it. Because we need to get it. I believe you'll see something right here this morning that'll help you if you'll catch it, either tomorrow or tonight, if we can finish the sermon, that if you'll catch it, you'll see something that will, it lifted me up anyway. Now, it should lift you up if you've got the Holy Ghost, the same as I've got it, and if it was the Holy Ghost that lifted me up to see it, then it should lift you up also, because it'll do the same work. But now, that mystery of iniquity, now see, we've always thought of the Antichrist and, and, you know, the man of sin as being something vulgar and some kind of a... I heard a man the other day on the radio. I was coming back from deer hunting, and he is talking about preaching away on the great mysteries and things, and he is talking about the Antichrist. And he said, now we've seen Jim Jones, and said we've seen Reverend Moon and Reverend Ike, and the Armstrong father and son. You know, he's just naming a whole bunch of them and telling about how that they were Antichrist. But see, he didn't know anything about the Antichrist because if he'd have seen it correctly, he'd have seen that until we're born again, we're kin folks to the devil. Now that's what it means to be born again. You get away from being kin folks to the devil, and naturally you'll act like the devil and do the things. No wonder the scripture says that if you love the world, and the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Now, it don't mean that we don't eat, drink, and have a good time, and have good cars, and a good home to live in, and all like that. That's not world. That's things you have to have. But when you begin to act like the world, then it's wrong. When you begin to move into that realm that you act like the world, then it's wrong, because the love of the Father is not in there, Scripture says. All right, then... if we can look at it rightly, you read 163 and 164 of the seal book. You just read that and see if that's not what the prophet's covering of the Antichrist and how it would be so close it would deceive the elect. And he's talking about how that they would have a reprobate mind. He says they want it. He said, I'm not going to have none of this here. To rule over me, in other words, putting it in my language. You talking about you got to do this, you got to do that. Read what he said. He said, you talking about you got to do this, you got to do that. He said, I ain't going to do that. He said, right then he'll turn you over to a reprobate mind, and you'll believe a lie. And to believe a lie is to believe that the lie is truth. Not to believe a lie, and you know it's a lie. Now, that wouldn't be nothing in that. Now, there are people that can lie that literally believe their lies. I know some people. I'm going to get away from this business of saying my sister-in-law lies, because I've got into so much trouble. Every time I seem to say something to you here, there's telephone rings, and somebody else is listening to the tape that's not even pertaining to them. They call me and chew me out. Because I'm talking about something. Well, now I'm going to just start this preaching it straight and just leave my sister-in-law out of it, in other words. Because it gets kind of aggravating. Just people won't call you at all until they want to chew you out because of some little thing you've referred or said, and they thought you was talking about them. I'll just leave my sister-in-law out of it now. But there's people that actually just lie. That I believe they believe their own lies. But now, this person that we're talking about is a person that wants something. You read what I give you there. He wants something. He wants to believe that lie. That person wants to believe the lie, so they believe it, and then God just turns them over to a reprobate mind, and they believe that lie is the truth. And then it's tied up in your anointed ones at the end time. Because that's what it is. It's the mystery of iniquity. It's tied up with that Antichrist. They want to believe it, and they accept it. You ever thought about in this day, everybody believes the Lord is talking to them? Now, if the Lord's talking the way that a lot of people talk, then he sure don't talk to me that way. But there's not a person in the world, there's not a preacher or a laity or anybody in the world today that would say the devil, I'm talking about supposed to be Christian in religious realms, they say, the Lord told me that. The Lord showed me this in a dream. The Lord showed me this in a vision. The Lord showed me this by revelation. Well, you know, you can tell that until you can believe it. You can say, well, the Lord directed me to do this. You say, well, what I followed all of my life told me to do this, or told me this, or told me the person was right or wrong or something, you know, about what they said. And, you know, they say that's the Holy Ghost. Well, now, it could be and it could not be. How does it compare with the Word? How does what speaking to you compare with the Word? If it don't compare with the Word, then it can't be the Holy Spirit then. That's simple, ain't it? That's enough for a child, understand? It can't be the Holy Spirit that's talking to you. So then that's why I've always tried to place it on that basis to you, to get you to see. When I talk about an altar call, there ain't no way in the world the devil's going to tell you, go on up there. You need to get saved. Now, he's not going to say that, so you know right real quick what's talking to you. When he says, don't go up there, then you know what's talking to you. So that way you can know. That's what I'm talking about, proof. What's your proof now? Now, you think about, what's your proof? If I ask you to write it out right now on a piece of paper, what would you write as proof to you that your iniquity is gone? What would be your answer? Record that in your mind and think about it. You say, oh, it's because I believe this message. Well, that's a good start, but the devil believes it. Now, does that throw that out the door then? See, you can just come down the line, and after a while, you ain't got nothing to stand on. But we've got to have proof, and the Word is what gives us proof of it then. So now, on our last message, we covered how that Israel, their iniquity will be gone when they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, their iniquity will be gone. Now, if you'll listen to what I say, instead of trying to figure out what I'm saying what I mean. I'm meaning what I say. Just take simply what I say and don't try to figure it out or interpret it or try to get something from God to say, Lord, tell me what He's telling me. I'm telling you what I mean. So listen to the words to what I say. Then you don't have to try to figure it out. Revelation doesn't come from something that you're reading Jack and the Beanstalk, and God tells you all about the serpent seed. Now, it's never come that way to me. It's come by reading the Word, and then somebody talking just in simple, plain language, and telling me what they wanted to hear, wanted, you know, to say, and God uses that foolishness of preaching to save the lost then. What Scripture says about it. Well, see, just listen to what I'm saying, and then the answer to what you're seeking after will be right there in what I say. I've done showed you the proof to Israel that their iniquity was gone. I've done showed you the proof to the bride that the iniquity was gone up to a certain stage. And then why would you sit then and wonder, well, now, how will we know where our iniquity's gone? How do we know? The same way, that's what I'm giving all the examples for. Look at the example of Israel. Now, what did we cover? The example to Israel was that when they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, then when He gives them the Holy Spirit, that right there is proof to them that their iniquity's gone. But then what will be the final proof of their iniquity being gone? See, we've got to come the same way they come. In other words, they're going to come the same way we are. We're actually ahead of them.
because they don't receive the Holy Ghost till we get out of here and everything. But it's still the mystery of redemption. We talk about the seal, and when we want to know what the mystery of redemption is under the seal, and we say that's the Antichrist, white horse rider being Antichrist Pope or something. No, that's not it. The mystery of redemption is something God reveals to you from that seal that will redeem me and you. See, it's something that redeems us. All right, then the Antichrist is not going to redeem us. Knowing it was the Pope, that's not going to redeem us. That's not the mystery of redemption. I keep saying that because I want you to see the mystery of redemption from the seal is something revealed to you. Sure, we thank God for Him revealing to us that the Antichrist and the Pope and the false prophet and the beast and all of that. But if that's all we ever see, then where would it be any different than give some Catholic priest or anybody one of these seal books and let him read it? He could read it and say it. There it'd be right in front of him. He could read it. Now, does that mean he's going into rapture? The devil believed it. Does that mean he's going? But now, we saw that Israel, when they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, their iniquity's gone in the faith that they have in the sacrifice. Now, that's what we tried to cover last week. That our iniquity goes in our faith in our sacrifice because we found from the Old Testament that it was in the sacrifice that done away with the iniquity. See, the Holy Ghost, in other words, healings and all of that is a benefit that goes with it. That's a benefit. That's a part of a kingdom. That's a benefit of the kingdom. But the Holy Ghost itself, when it comes to Israel there in the tribulation period, their iniquity will be forgiven because they accept Him and their faith will be in Him. And then He comes and gives them the Holy Ghost. That proof, that right there is proof to them that their iniquity's gone for their soul. See, that's proof to them. All right? Then what? Now watch and you'll see what it is to us. Some people have had the Holy Ghost 50 years and they're still wondering, well, how do I get rid of iniquity maybe? Or how will I know that it's finally gone? Something that's binding me to this world when we found that it was the flesh that was binding us. How are you going to know that that's finally gone? You've got to know. I don't believe in a God that won't let you know. Now, I just don't believe in that kind of a God. I don't believe in a haphazard God that just, you know, goes along and everybody says, well, we'll know when we're changed that we're bride. You ever heard people say that? You ever heard preachers preach like that? Bless God, we'll know one of these days. Well, I don't believe in that kind of a God. I believe in a God that can let me know now where I'm at, because the prophet said in the church age book you could know where you was at with God at any time and at all times. Now, I don't remember the page number, but I'll get it for you. It's in the church age book. Well, then if I can know where I'm at any time and at all times, then I believe in a God that can reveal to us things and let us know right here. And I'm proving it by the example to Israel. When they're born again, that proves that their iniquity's gone for their soul, because God won't dwell in an unclean vessel. You think He'd come and forgive your sins and live in your soul, Brother Tatum, if there was still iniquity in that soul? Now, He wouldn't do it, would He? That's why, to me, what I see now, this is what's hurting me so much. That's what I've done, just prayed and cried and prayed for weeks now, and I can't find a release, because knowing what I can see about the headstone now, we need those people that years ago prayed and prayed and prayed for people to receive the Holy Ghost. We need them now instructed in the word of the headstone to be able to pray the people through. It's not something just go up and pray them through like pray them through. You didn't do that in the Holy Ghost, and you ain't going to do it now that way. It's going to take some planting of the Word and then somebody that knows what they're doing. And now when it comes down to where you need them, where are they at? You need the old warriors that knowed. Brother Branham would stand there and preach to those people and say, now I prayed for it. He said, now go in that room in there with those workers that are seasoned in the gospel and know how to pray you through the Holy Ghost. What was he saying that for? That person knew how to pray you through. They knew how to pray you through because they had been prayed through. Now that when it's come to the time that what you can see about, that's what we need is those seasoned. Because you got a lot of children that's been born in this way that need circumcision and things like that. You remember the children of Israel and their journey? Before Joshua could go over, he had to stop and don't go through. Or after he got there or something, they were, some of them had to be circumcised that was born in the way. They had to be done. They'd kind of got relaxed on that side of it and didn't circumcise. But now, to Israel, now listen, to Israel, when God gives them the Holy Ghost, that means they have an abstract title deed to their soul. That means everything has been erased all the way back from the beginning, all the way down, for their soul. That's been erased, or you wouldn't get an abstract. An abstract deed, I've spoke on it back yonder, you know, trying to bring it out. If you don't have an abstract deed of your property, somebody can come in and say, oh, I want that property, I got an older deed than you got. Well, they can just shove you out and take your house and everything you got sitting on it. If they got an older deed than you've got. But see, when you get the Holy Ghost, you get an abstract title deed. That means it searched all the way back. Going clean on back to the beginning and everything's erased. But that's talking to your soul. Talking about your soul. Because we found our bodies were still needing redemption. Alright, then that abstract to Israel is a proof that their iniquity's gone. Alright, then what happens to them to give them a double assurance? You mean Israel's going to be sitting over in the tribulation now and people dying all around them and just persecutions on every hand and giving their life and they're going to be sitting there saying, well, we got the Holy Ghost just like all them people that was down there in that Laodicean church age that was there that claimed to be in the message. We believe the message now, and we got the Holy Ghost, but we just don't know what's going on, and we can't find out whether this man's preaching the truth or that one's preaching the truth or who's doing what. We just don't know. We're in such bad shape. Now, I'd like for you to find that in the Bible or Brother Brown's message. Now, I'll apologize if you can find it. A certain sister was talking here a while back about some things about the people of the message, and I told her this way, I said, you go home and you put a tape on and you find Brother Branham negative. And you go find him negative on a tape somewhere. That's what I say to you. You go find him somewhere on a tape that Brother Branham was, well, I don't know whether God's with me or not. Just having such a hard time. You find him that way. Find me somebody in the Bible that way. Then that means I ain't supposed to be that way. And I don't care what comes or goes or what happens to us. Or who says what or does what. We're supposed to stand on what the Word says and say, well, now, that's what I believe. I can't stand on nothing else. But to Israel, in that tribulation, that Holy Ghost abstract title deed to their soul, it gives them an assurance. But that's not all. God don't just leave you with that. He gives you more. He gives you a double assurance. Because the headstone will come to Israel in the tribulation. God will appear to them so much till they say, now it's after they're saved now. so much that they'll say, where'd you get the nail prints in your hand? And they don't see him standing there in a corporal body. They see two witnesses preaching the gospel to them, and those two witnesses tell them about how that Jesus died at Calvary, and the nail prints that was in his hands was for their sins. And they see that, and that's the way they see it. That's how he appears to them. But he will come to them there before they go into the millennium with us. Then that means something's got to happen to us, because I can see that happen to them to prove that they're going. God just don't leave them running around in the tribulation wondering where they're going or not. He not only gives them the Holy Ghost to let them know they're going to heaven, he gives them a double assurance and comes himself and personally appears unto them. Right there, and so much until they see him. But now think about it. What's our proof that our iniquity is gone before we get a change? I want you to think about this thought just for a little bit. There's a mystery of redemption that has to be revealed to us under the first seal of redemption. Now, I want you to think about something very seriously. And you're welcome to do it if you'd like to. But I'd like for you to stand and name me one church. I ain't talking about one individual church. I'm talking about one church system, one denomination, one independent, any day and time down through there of any church system that ever taught that God would meet the bride before the rapture. Now listen, they didn't, because they didn't catch the mystery. The best you can get is what the disciples said in the Bible about it. Now the best you can come up with is what Peter and Paul and them said, how that when we see him, we'll be like him. But that was still not the mystery under the first seal. Now watch and see if you can catch the mystery part of it then. Something that's been hidden from every man's eyes. We will know here that we're going before we go. But man has always taught, and you check it with history and see if it ain't right. You check it with anybody you want to and see if it ain't right. I even hear it out of the people of this message that still, when the prophet told us about it, the people of this message still say what I said a while ago. Well, one of these days, bless God, we're going to know. Boy, when I take that change, bless God, I'll know. I've probably even said that myself. I ain't going to leave myself out if I said that. Because I didn't see what the first seal revealed to us. That first seal reveals that we will know here that we are going in the rapture and death can't take us and us still dying. You've got to know it. No organizational system ever taught that. I say, I stand for correction. Bring it and let's see one that ever taught it. They know nothing of the mystery. You bring me even the Bible that shows it in that mystery, because those disciples didn't see that mystery under that seal. The best they could do would be speak of it. The best they could do was talk about it. They couldn't see it, because the seal hadn't been taken off of what the Word said. But listen, Jesus plainly told us, he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But it's took till now to know what that scripture means. Oh, Brother Dale, I'll forget it. You show me one that's ever taught it. You take the Bible and show me a man in the Bible that ever taught that outside of Jesus Christ. Now that's a good one if you want to take it that way. I'm not being exalted. I'm just showing you something. When you know what you're talking about, you're not as scared because God will back up what you're talking about. Because He's the one that reveals it. Those disciples didn't know what was under that first seal of the mystery of redemption. They spoke of things. They spoke of it. Sure, they talked about it. They said, we'll behold in a glass darkly, but when we'll see Him face to face. But you always read the scripture, it seemingly applies to when we finally make that change. But the mystery under the seal is before the change comes, you're going to have to know or you're not going to be changed. You say, oh, when we see the dead raised. My wife was talking last night about it. Not to be contrary to the scripture, but just to give you an illustration to show you, there was people saw Abraham and Sarah that were changed in their resurrection. And Brother Branham, in reference of it, said, hey, we better get out of here. We've been recognized. You think they got a change? I know Brother Branham said, when we see the dead, we'll know we're going, because we will. But before the dead come out of the grave, you're going to know you're going. Or they're not coming out of the grave. That's what's holding them. What's holding them is me and you. Without us, they cannot be made perfect. What's keeping the dead out from coming out of the grave is me and you. We can't come to the place that we can take what the Word says and just stand there on it and call it as the Word says it. We can't catch what the prophet's talking about. Do you know you're going, well, I hope I'm going. Do you know that you're in the rapture? People, you say, well, I know I'm born again, but I don't know whether I'm in the bride or not. How foolish can we get? If you hear this on tape, and if it's you that said it, I'm talking to my people. How foolish can any person get to think that they've got the Holy Ghost, but they don't know whether they're in the bride or not? The Holy Ghost is the bride. That's what it is. But I'm talking about a no-so gospel, not a haphazardly, yeah, well, do you know you're born again? Well, I believe the message. God spoke to me one day. He spoke to a dumb donkey. Through him. How do you know? Somebody stick a gun to your head and one of the days you'll find out whether you know it or not. Like they said back in the early church when the Germans came in over there, that some of them were Christians and they went into a church and they said, we're going to kill all the Christians in here, this real dedicated ones. Said the rest of you can leave. Said the people just got up and started going out the doors and a little handful was still sitting there. When they got through, they laid their guns down and said, we had to know for sure whether you were true or not. Said, we're Christians also. They knew if they sat there and put their life on the line, then they wouldn't no worry about it. There'll come a time you wait and see that your life will be on the line for what you believe. Then you'll know whether you know or not. I couldn't face tomorrow not knowing it. I couldn't stand today without knowing that God has saved me. But yet, where's the people in their faith? Where are they at with their great faith that they used to have years ago? Now it's just a haphazard little affair with them. Go to church and be good, and let's all be good. We're going to heaven because all that Brother Branham loved and all that he ever loved and loved him, they're going to be there. I'd hate to face God with that. Would you be willing to face a firing squad with it? But you're going to have to know. You're going to have something that you can stand there and say, as the Bible said, when you've done all, to stand. And when you've done all, just stand then. When you can even talk and pray to God for days and days and not get an answer, what are you going to do? When you can be showed seemingly in dreams and everything else to just close out everything. How would you like to be standing in a church like this and it just dropping down and people doing the way they're doing, and then a dream comes that you put before the church a vote to see whether to stay or not, and 12 out of the congregation votes for you to leave, and there ain't hardly 12 here. And it was screamed out to them, said only tithe payers do any voting, and there wouldn't be 12 tithe payers in this group. And there was 12 votes to close it out, and not one vote to stay. What would you do? What would you do? Not a person to stand beside of me. Now that's as truthful as the dream children. But I cast aside all reasoning and imagination and stand on the Word. See, then you can depend on your dreams. You can depend on what you want to. I depend on what the Word says. Pray and seek God for an answer. Turn on a tape this morning, and there it was. Brother Branham said, when everybody turns against a man, then still he's able to stand upon his conviction of what he believes, that God has told him, and walk on. Then I go that way. Because I believe in a God that will let you know. I believe in a God that will answer your questions, or I don't care nothing about serving Him. I don't care nothing about serving a God that's haphazardly just little baby petty things that... I believe in a God that is God of the whole creation, the Creator, the answer to all questions. That's the kind of God I serve. I don't serve no God like you say in the... We used to say back in the organizations, well, we'd get sick and then we'd go to God and say, God, would you heal us? And then He'd heal us and the next day we'd go out and live worse than we did before then. I don't believe God that way. I believe, as Brother Branham said the other day, and I was listening to him going down the road, he said, there's a record made. He said, a man, woman, go out here and commit adultery out there. He said, ought to be taken out in public and castrated. He said, if you had laws like that, you'd stop it. He said, a man caught going down the road over 55 miles an hour. He said, that's premeditated murder. And that's the way he said it. He said, there's a record made. Now, if you wanted, it's on... Christ revealed His own Word. You read the book, you'll find it in there. Listen to the tape. He said, there's a record made. We think we're getting by. We go down the road and there's a little law officer sitting out there and he's talking to somebody else and we zip by and say, boy, we got by that one. You're not getting by. You're not getting by. There's a record made. God knows why we're doing things. He knows what causes us to do things. And there's no getting by. Brother Branham said, the blood's on your hand. He said, the only way you can get it off is get it in your heart. The only way you can ever get that blood off your hand, you remember the story of how that Pharaoh went out and washed his hands and said, I, there in the Bible, you know, I washed my hands of it. Whether it be true or not, there was a fable told of that, that he went out finally and drowned himself in a pool of water. And that ever so often that water comes up a certain color or bubbles up or does something to show that there's no way you can get it off your hands. He said, I washed my hands of the blood of this innocent man. You've got to get it off the hands into your heart. Because if you don't, it's still there. See, that's where we're tied up at. But there's never been, now listen, there's never been, I ain't talking about until I preached it. I'm talking about until the prophet of God preached the first seal. There has never been a man that really understood and saw what that seal revealed of how that you could know that you're going. There's never been one outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, Peter, Paul, and them, they spoke of it, but they didn't know what the mystery was. They spoke of a change. They spoke of a time we'd see God. They spoke of a change in us. But how many of them ever spoke like Brother Branham? Now, I'm just putting it just as plain as I can get it, because I'm going to have to get out here in a minute and show you something from what he said. How many ever spoke like he did? Understanding. Because the seals was broke to him. That he could see. He could talk about what it would be. But just think now. The first seal reveals how we can know why we are here. Well, do no good to know how do we get over there. What good would it help me today? People say, well, when we get there, we'll know. Now, what good would that help me and you get there? That might be good enough to take us to the grave and bring us out of it one of these days and get to heaven. But I want to know how to know here that I'll be changed. That I don't have to worry about getting old and dying. Somebody's going to have to face that one of these days and walk up there and say, death, you're a bluff. And everybody around him will look at him in life and see him the next day as he gets older and sicker and worse than he was when he was standing there. But he still looks at it and says, death, you ain't nothing but a bluff. Best example we got of it is Enoch walked with God and was not because God took him. Why? Because he walked with God. He had rapture and faith, Brother Ram said. And he just walked up the side of that pyramid and right on off the earth. Because he walked up his mountain of stone, his Bible. But just think about it now. How do we know? We've got to see something. I told you I'm just reviewing. All right, we covered now. Watch the review now, and you'll see what I'm been driving at. Maybe we can make it in a little more simpler terms or something as we go along. We covered in the Old Testament, when we started on the series, that your iniquity was gone in your sacrifice. You'd go up and you'd make a sacrifice, and the Bible said that their iniquities was gone. All right? Then we saw that when Israel was saved, be saved in the tribulation. God will make reconciliation for iniquity according to Daniel 9:24-25 through there of the sixfold purpose. One of them was to make reconciliation for iniquity. And Brother Brown said that their greatest iniquity is when they crucified him at the cross. They knew better. See, iniquity is knowing better to knowing not to do wrong and going and do it anyway. They knew better. All right? Then, now, we saw how that their faith in that sacrifice will do away with their iniquity. See, when they catch it and see it, their faith in that sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we saw that it was the new birth would come to them as proof that their iniquity for their soul is done away with. Then we saw now that it was our faith in our sacrifice that does away with the iniquity and the Holy Spirit is proof. See, the unclean spirit goeth out of a man, walketh in dry places, seeketh rest, findeth none. That's sanctification. That's your unclean spirit going out. That's your iniquity and things that's going out of your soul. Then the Holy Ghost comes in and gives you an abstract title deed to that soul. All right, we saw that was proof now. The Holy Ghost coming to you is proof to you that your iniquity's gone. That ought to make a Pentecostal shout or anybody else to realize that when God give me the Holy Ghost, that means I could never die. That means my soul's eternal. It's just as eternal as His is. That means I got a promise of a heaven to go to. And I don't have to die in this torment and go into a devil's hell and have to burn there for billions of years. That I've got a promise. My iniquity's gone. All right, now, we saw this was only for our soul. But there was something still wrong with our bodies. Something still wrong with this body we found was a product of iniquity. David said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. See, the iniquity is the beginning. That's why I said I'll go back to there every time. Of iniquity instead of just saying sin, because iniquity is the beginning of the sin. That's what Satan had in his mind up in heaven, we read the other night. Of how thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, because, see, he got exalted. Said, because iniquity was found in you. Didn't say because sin was found in him. That come automatic, because iniquity was found in him. He knew better than to do that. Iniquity is the conceiving part of it. The baby is the product. The baby's what's brought forth. But now think, something's wrong with our bodies. That's what's got us bound here. We saw the seals was for the redemption of the body. That it would take a revelation of the seals, not just because I can read Brother Branham said it. All right, now, how did we see the seals? Now, think about it. I told you I'm just reviewing today something, and then we'll just make a final point. How did we see that the seals would reveal something that would redeem our bodies? Now, if you can't remember these things, you ought to go back and listen to the tapes. Brother Whitby said he's going to take the tapes home and ask his people to listen to them in a series all the way through. Of the tapes. It might do you good to go back and get the tapes and listen to them all the way through. You'll see that a lot of these things is what I preached on. How did we find now that the seals would reveal something that would redeem our bodies? We saw that we must be purged of our iniquity before there can be a change. I've spoken on that enough to you ought to know. We've got to know that we can be purged of our iniquity. Now, how did we find last week, and this seemed to be the message either that the devil was fighting it or something was wrong because I couldn't get my point across, and maybe we can help today to just get the point across. How did we find last week that our iniquity would be purged? We found from Proverbs 16:6, it says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Now, how many remembers what that means? By mercy and truth, your iniquity is purged. Now, what did we find about that? We found from Psalms 85:10, that mercy and truth had met together. We saw that when that was done of mercy and truth meeting together, that righteousness and peace kissed each other. You remember that? Mercy and truth met together. Righteousness and peace kissed each other. We saw that was when Jesus became flesh. Right, now, what is our sacrifice then that does away with our iniquity? the blood of bulls and goats no longer will work. What if our sacrifice that does away with our iniquity? What kind of faith have you got? What have you got your faith in today? We found then to do away with iniquity, it was faith in the sacrifice. You got to have faith in your sacrifice, and when mercy and truth met together, righteousness and peace had kissed each other, heaven and earth, in other words, had embraced. What God and man had become one. Mercy and truth had met together. And we saw that mercy and truth, by that iniquity is purged. By mercy and truth. Now did you follow me? If you didn't, go back please and listen to that again. I had a hard time trying to preach on. Sometimes when you're doing that, it means the people's getting it. Sometimes it means they ain't getting it. And I just ain't spiritual enough to know the difference in the two. Go back and listen to the tape again. By mercy and truth, your iniquity is purged. Now, there's something in those two words then. What did we find? That mercy and truth, according to the psalmist, met together in Jesus Christ. And that righteousness and peace kissed each other. Intimate contact. God and man became one. And there stood Jesus Christ upon the earth. Heaven and earth had embraced each other because he was God in human flesh. That's the faith I've got my, that's what I've got my faith in, that sacrifice. And it'll be only through faith in that sacrifice will my iniquity ever be purged from me. Talking about for this body now, for our soul, it's already gone. We've done covered that. It's already gone, but our bodies is holding us here. And those in the grave have never come out because every one of them went down saying, when I get there, I'll know. When I get there, I'll know. Somebody's got to stand here and say, I know now. Not that I'll know then, I know now that I've already made it. We've got too many examples. Joshua, Brother Brown said, didn't have to stand out there and say, Lord, would you mind stopping that sun? Would you please stop the sun and let it not go down? He didn't even pray a prayer. He just walked out there and said, sun, stand still. He said, moon, you hang right over there. Named a valley to hang over. But what is it? What happened that caused him to do that? Brother Branham said he didn't need to pray. He said because God prayed him through before the foundation of the world. Now that's what he said about it. He said he didn't have to pray. Well, we've got such a bad thing, all sickness. Now, let's pray. Now that's good. You know, that's good. Let's pray. That's good. We ought to do that. Well, we're at church today. Let's pray. Brother Brown says, you don't do that. He said, you come here already prayed up. All right, then those people went down because of that. Not having faith in their sacrifice sufficient for the time. Now, when we get into the second seal, you'll see because the word that they had was not sufficient for the time to make the rapture. Luther's justification was sufficient for the time to make him a Christian, but it was not sufficient for a rapture. It didn't come in that day. He's part of it, but it didn't come there. Watch that church when you take into that second seal and tie it identically to the first seal, and that's exactly the way the prophet taught it. Because you can see under the first seal how that something happens, and then you go right into the second seal, and you see him pick that same thing right up again and just keep on going. He didn't change things. He's kept on going, showing you higher and higher. We found what? Antichrist, false prophet, beast, Satan incarnate and the beast. That's just under the first seal. You got to go to the fourth seal to see the end of that feller. What do you think it'll be and then in redemption? It's got to go justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, incarnate God, and under the fourth seal we see the end of the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the way the prophet said it. And he said, you'll see the end of Satan. It'll all come to an end. Sure, when we're changed, we'll know. But I want to know now. I want to know now. And I'm promised I can. That's what this seal reveals, that I can. So we found mercy and truth met together in our sacrifice, Jesus Christ. That is our sacrifice. Mercy and truth met in Him. He's the only one that can purge our iniquity. It ain't something we can do. Like I said, we say, well, we got iniquity. Let's just go to the Lord with it and ask Him to forgive us, and He'll forgive us of our iniquity. The disciples, you think they didn't know how to get to God and they didn't get their iniquity gone or their body to where they could be changed? We know better than that. They didn't get to God. They got to Him so much they could... Gravitation couldn't even hold Stephen. He was here in one place having a good revival going on. About that time, the Lord just picked him up, and here he went flying for 200 or 300 miles down there to an Ethiopian eunuch down in the desert. And then he just disappeared from there. Well, now, that man could do that, but yet he still couldn't get to God for something that God had withholding in His Word that the seal had not broken. He could not get to God. He could transmit from one place to another, but couldn't get to God to get out of the world. And that's what I want us to see. See, in that mercy and truth in Jesus Christ, if we can believe in Him, He can take us out of this world. That's what I was driving at last week. Mercy and truth met together. And when it did, righteousness and peace kissed each other. What do we find on page 20 of Who Is This Melchizedek? Righteousness is the Spirit, attribute. Peace was theophany, Word. The Word and the Spirit met in Jesus Christ and was one. That's the only thing that will purge me and you. There is no purging under what I'm talking about outside of the Word being revealed unto us. Now that's where your prophet comes in at. Everybody teaches, oh, there was a prophet. You believe there was a prophet? You believe there was a prophet? The devil believed there was a prophet. But coming all the way under the seal. Watch it now. See, it was the Word and the Spirit made flesh. Now watch and see if this is right. Only by this being done in the last days would our iniquity be purged. It's only done by the Word and Spirit being one, God and man becoming one. It'll only be done that way in the last days. See, it would take the Word revealed unto us to straighten up our lives. It'd take the Word being revealed to straighten up our lives. As I said in referring to marriage and divorce, you can't get there with a mixed up scruple in marriage and divorce. You've got to get clear. See, it just won't work. Now, that's as honest as I can say it. It just won't work, because why did Brother Ram have to preach marriage and divorce? Then when he preached the message following that, later on, which was because of that message, and he titled it The Invisible Union of the Bride of Christ, he said, your whole husband is dead. See, proving that we were ever one married to a prostitute system, whether you joined, belonged, or just walked with them, you had the same mind they had. Say, yeah, but I never was in one. You was born one. We are one by birth. But then think about it. We can't get there with scruples in our lives then. Well, now, Brother Dale, how are we going to get rid of them? The Word is the only way to know where you can get rid of them or not. Just keep reading the Word and studying and praying. That Word will take care of it. But now, outside of that, where are you going to get it? I ask you, outside of that, where are you going to get it? Oh, Brother Brown's message come in the end time to give us rapture and faith. But I just ain't got time to read and study. Lord, you know that I'm busy and I just don't have time to read and study the message, and you're just going to have to take me in it so hard. Where was the day back under 20 years ago when you quit your job because of the Word? Now you tell me about it. 20 years ago, would we have worked at a job that wouldn't allow us to be together at services? Now you think about it. I don't have to think about it. I know what it is. Brother Brown said right around the coming of the Lord, he said, your job won't be important. But yet, 20 years ago, let's see, 18 years ago, I asked the Lord, I said, you want me to quit the job I'm at? I said, now, I'm going to go out here and get me a job. I just started talking with Brother Mode on the message. I said, I'm going out here and get me a job. I don't like to drive all that distance. And so I just a aggravating mess working in General Motors. It wasn't quite 18 years ago. It's been back about 14, I guess. But I said then, I said, Lord, do you want me just to quit? So I got me a job during model change. I worked construction work, building bridges. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. It was a little cold. I know it'd be a little hot in the summertime, but I enjoyed it because I liked physical work. It was just something the man wanted me to just to take over a group, and before long I would have had my own construction crew working under him, and now he's got about six or eight crews working under him, one construction company. I'd have had my own construction crew. That's what he wanted me to do. That's what I hired in to do, was to learn the works from the bottom to the top where I could run one of them, and he had a man over the other one, and that way he could be between the two groups. Then now he's got six that I know of. And the man told me that he would generally start it off at a certain pay raise to come in, which was about the pay raise I was making, so I thought, well, I won't be losing no money. But I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, do you want me to quit this job at General Motors and go with that? I'd already reading the books and studying, you know, and know a little about the message. I said, you want me to just quit and go with that? And I really wanted to quit. I really wanted to go with that job. It would have given me an opportunity to do what I wanted to do. And I said, the only thing I'm asking you, Lord, if you don't want me to go, if you want me to stay at General Motors, don't let that man pay me what he said he'd pay. He sent word to me that he would pay me above the normal starting pay. He would pay me above that if I'd come and start to work with him. A friend of mine got me the job. When I got my paycheck, I worked 2 weeks before I got a paycheck. When I got a paycheck, he paid me exactly what he started everybody else off at. I went back to General Motors and sent word to the man that I couldn't work for him no more, that I would quit, and that the Lord had sent me back to General Motors. He didn't understand it, I don't guess. You know what he done? He sent me a check. He sent me an apology. He paid me exactly what he said he'd pay me for them 2 weeks. But that wasn't what I told the Lord. I told the Lord, what would he do to let him pay me? And he paid me the way I was supposed to go back. You mean now, then I'll get around and I say, well, I'll just stay at General Motors. It don't matter what they make me do. We got to make a living. I got to have a living for my family. We're got to have money. No, we get on the wrong side. Where's the people that used to be in this message, that used to fast and pray and have all-night prayer meetings, when there's more to pray about now than there ever has been? Brother Branham said, here's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. He said, who's sighing and crying for the abomination done in the city? Who's sighing and crying for the abomination that's in the people of this message all across the land?
Well, bless God, if that's the way they want it, just let them have it that way.
Well, the God that's in me doesn't deal that way. I'm sorry. The God that's in me is grieved and hurt because of the way people do it. As I said one time before, we were talking about killing a doe. Why would a Christian have to be told it's wrong to kill a doe? But yet the people of this message just go out and kill one, just right and left. We're supposed to obey the laws of the land. The law of the land says don't put out no salt people of this message. I've been to places and hunted where people in this message, if they hear this, I'm talking to my people. I'm telling it straight. If you don't believe it, come on, I'll talk with you about it. You know you're wrong. So if you hear the tape, you'll know you're wrong. I've been to places and hunted when they was pawed out places this big and they'd build stands right over the top of it, looking right down on it. Helped a man build one. Said he wanted a stand built. I helped him build it. And there was a dresser drawer nailed up on a tree right beside it. It had sweet feed in it. And then people wonders why I don't kill no deer. My kids back there know it. Terrence said something to me about it. He said, we can't say nothing about them others because we got salt poured down there. And I put it down there with a false pretense in my own self, I guess, an honest heart to try to keep the deer in the area where we could hunt them at. And I wouldn't hunt in that place, and they know it. I allowed them to hunt there, but I would not do it. I'd go in the backside of the woods and hunt. I believe in a Christian being a Christian. I don't believe in God being just any kind of filthy. Brother Ryan said the Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost. It's not a garbage can. If I get stronger and stronger about preaching things to you, then you just believe that I should have done it a long time ago because I've let it relax so many years until it's just got pitiful. We ought to be above those things. Go out in the woods and sit and cry all day and pray for you, and then you go on and do the same thing. I'd be ashamed. If I was a people of this message, no wonder they can't win nobody to it. There's preachers in this message. I'm ashamed to come to this pulpit because they'll hammer the women about their dresses and their hair and their paints and their everything. This bead like everything. And you know that they're doing worse than anybody could be thought of. I guess they'll be less inviting. They'll probably be less inviting. When they hear me straight anyway, probably won't be no problem with it. I've tried to be honest and sincere and love people and tried to help them in every way that I could. And what have they done to me? Call me everything in the book. But listen, I believe one thing. I believe Brother Branham's message is the only message that will ever purge our iniquity. Now, we don't have another message. We don't have another prophet. There's not another one to come for us. I've got a book at home that thick on how Joseph is to be a prophet and how that he was to be the great one to come and all this that and other. I don't believe that. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one I'm talking about right there, that it'll take God in human flesh upon this earth again, in our human flesh, in your flesh, in my flesh. It'll take God in the soul of the person born again before he'll ever be purged, period, because it's got to start from the inside. It's not the man on the top side of the ship that runs the show. It's the man on the inside down in the engine room. And Brother Branham's message come to prove to you you was born again. You received that message that he was bringing. Some born again after they heard it, but some of you wasn't. You was born again before, and it was proof that you believed it. But that message is the only thing. Eat the message until you become it. The man over there, the writer in Revelation, he had to eat it, didn't he? Take the book. Go back over in the Old Testament to your writer there where that he told was told, go take the book and eat it. You eat the Word and you'll become the Word. And then all of our problems are covered by the blood. Don't tell me that you go out here and just live any kind and do this anything contrary to the Word and God's going to hear you. That's what's wrong with us now. I know what's wrong with me and I'm trying to get out of it. I've tried to love people into doing things right instead of having to scream and holler. I've got myself in trouble with the Lord on account of it. But I'm taking my stand with him. If you ever one walk out of here, my wife and kids and all leave me. I believe God wants us to live right and be right from the children all the way to the grown-ups or anybody. And then you wonder why you can't win nobody in this message. My Lord, the people in it's what's wrong with it. It's not somebody outside of it. And they know better. That's the iniquity, is what I said. That's the foundation for the Antichrist, the worst of all. They know better. You've got the books and the tapes to read. And then you read them and go on and do the same thing. I'm talking to you or anybody here hears these tapes. You do the same thing your old life was after reading Brother Brown's message, then you ain't caught the message. God is a holy God and a just one. Brother Branham was out there shooting deer up to one side and down the other and for other people. Having him a good time in the woods killing deer. Just cause somebody said, kill them for me, I'll take them. God come to him and said, you're wrong. He said, Lord, I'm wrong on that. I won't do it no more. And he stopped. And that's when God come to him then and said, when he put the three deer, you remember, in front of him? The greatest test the man ever had. He said, here, I've got money in my pocket that them three men give me. He said, Brother Branham, get me a deer. Get me a deer today. He said he had three, and he named the brothers. Each one would have been far. And he said, there's no way you'd get away from me. But he said, God, I remember my promise, and I won't do that no more. And those deer come up to him close enough he could pet them. What brought them deer there that close? The presence of Almighty God brought them that close, and he could have pet them. They turned and walked off. And then God spoke to him and said, you kept your promise. Now I'll keep mine. Won't you come and walk with me? Yet we want God to walk with us and do what we want him to do. Yet we live any kind of lives. And then somebody come along and try to help us, and then what do you get? Man called me last night and chewed me out. If he hears this, that's what he was doing. He chewed me out up one side and down the other because of something I'd said right here in this church, when the very day that I said it, I didn't hound a man in reference. When I said, if you want a bathroom, put it in back there, I'll pay for it. You put it in. You remember, that's been 6 or 8 months ago. He called me up and said, that's what I preached a couple of weeks ago. And he was telling me all about it, tearing me up about it. I didn't say one word to him. But yet he's the man that's got the woods full of salt. He's the man that's got all of those things tacked up on the tree to feed the deer. Oh, he told me the game warden said it's all right. I got it in black and white, where the game, State Game and Fish Commission said that game warden's a liar too. It says you don't put out salt. I don't care what they do on the land that I'm hunting on. I won't put out nothing to fool with it. The law tells you what you can do. You can plant feed for them. The law says you can do that. You say there ain't no difference in planting feed or putting out salt. Now you talk to the law. They the one that made it. I didn't. You decide from them. And the people that hear these tapes, then you take what I'm saying to be from a heart of love. I love you. People say, yeah, well, as long as you tell it, as long as I'm with you, I'm all right. But when I'm against you, no. I don't care what you are with me. I still love you anyway. Only by this message, the very thing that we have in our possession is what will purge us, and we're looking for something to come. Thy word, the word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. What? We look for God, want God to honor us. What does the word say that God will do? What did Moses say? I've been trying to preach something for you to see the headstone from it. What did Moses say? He's not over the sea that one should go there. It's the word, it's in thy mouth and in thy heart. Paul picked it up and said, the word of faith which we preach. And then we want to know what the headstone is. What is the headstone, and when's it going to come? If I ever get around to it, I'll show you from Brother Branham. It could already be here, and we missed it. It could already be on the church and her gone, and we've done missed it. Because he always does it and then reveals it. Oh, one of these days he'll reveal it. No, he already does it before he reveals it. But now think about it. Look on your first seal. Look what Brother Branham was talking about. See if it ain't this message that does it. You ever notice how many times he talked about himself and his message in this seal book? Every seal is linked to whether or not there's a prophet. Read it and see. Read it and see. Check it out and see if every seal ain't connected to whether there's a prophet or not. Because that's the only way. I was listening to Brother Branham this morning on that Tucson message where he was ordained Brother Perry Green. And he said, these people don't understand it. He said, but Moses wrote the Old Testament and said to do that he had to go to the backside of the desert. He said Paul wrote the New Testament and he said to do that he had to go to the desert and come out. He said, wouldn't it come out the same then for the seven seals? When he'd have to go to the backside of the desert and get it and come out with it? Then every seal is connected whether you believe a prophet or not. Watch what he says and here on 174. When he gets down to the end of the seal, now there ain't but about three pages, and watch what he says. Now watch at the same time that this guy is a conquering, then I'll close. God is going to do something then. Let's not just give Satan all the credit. Let's not talk about him altogether. He's been talking about the Antichrist and what he was. That's what he's been preaching. He said, now let's just don't talk about him altogether. While this great thing's going on, out there, this great system winding in these organizations and union so they can pull themselves together and stand against communism. Now he starts talking, he brings this thought all the way across, and you read it. He comes back up on the other side of the page. He said, notice, in the same time this is going on, just before this takes place, rather, on the earth, just before the man of sin sits in the temple of God, showing himself to be as God, and you really see the Antichrist in the tribulation, just before then. So that's what he's referring to. Notice in the same time this is going on, just before this takes place, rather, on the earth, God has promised, while all them scruples of denominations arguing their differences about their creeds, God promised that he would send us a true prophet of the true word, with a message to return to the original Word of God and the faith of the fathers, listen, to bring down the power of the Holy Ghost amongst the people and the power that will raise her above these things and take her in. Now that's what he's preaching on the seal. He said, let's don't talk about him all the time. There's a mystery of redemption there. What? That a prophet would be sent to return us to the original faith, to bring down the power of God, to raise her up. Eat the message. That's what I've been driving at. This message is what it is. This message that we've got. See how the Word, I'm going to just read these off. See how the Word was to be restored before the bride could take the rapture? We see it's the Word, our mercy and truth, that does away with our iniquity. Mercy and truth, Word revealed. Righteousness, Spirit, theophany, Word, peace. Word and Spirit, one. Quicken the Word to us. What? What Word he said? What he's talking about? See how Jesus said it? Said, see what Jesus said is true, how that you shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free from your iniquity. You'll know the truth, and it'll set you free from it. Not that you'll just haphazardly go along, and all at once it'll be gone. That's worse than any Baptist church had ever been thought of. See, all our hopes rest upon the word of the prophet. See, all of our hopes rest on the words that prophet brought us. Oh, bless God, mine rest in the word. Well, then you don't even know what I'm talking about. But he told us how we could know that our iniquity is gone. Now I'm going to review this for a second. See if you can catch it now. How was it? What was proof to us? Now we're talking about just in the soul now. What was proof to us that our iniquity was gone? Because the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit came in to prove to you that your iniquity was gone. How was it to Israel? When God gives her the Holy Ghost, it's proof her iniquity's gone for her soul. When he comes and appears to them personally, they prove they're still in bodies that are got something wrong, because when he appears to them personally, he tells them who he is, and they go weak for the sins they've committed. But God comes to them as proof to them that their iniquity's gone. Then what's the proof our iniquity's gone? Because the headstone comes to the church. The headstone will not come to the church unless the iniquity's gone from it. What you've heard talk about headstone and all this, that, and the other over all these years, that headstone won't come unless your iniquity's gone. And it takes the revealed word to bring us up this stature of a perfect man. The revealed word is what brings us up through there, not our thoughts and ideas. And then the headstone finally comes to the church. But when the headstone comes to the church, it's proof to you. Just like when the Holy Ghost came to you, it was proof to you. You ought to be happy about the Holy Ghost to you, because the Holy Ghost is proof your iniquity's gone. If you can ever catch what the headstone is and see it rightly, it's the other part of the Holy Ghost. And when it comes, it'll come because of our iniquity of this old flesh. God has covered it. Now you see the scripture we read, blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin, whose iniquities are forgiven. And whose sins are covered. God and man becomes one there. That's the fullness of the Godhead. That's when the Holy Ghost comes to the church. See, we can know that we're forgiven. We can know that we're in the bride. We can know that we're going to heaven. Because when God comes down to that, that's proof. That settles it. The headstone to the church proves it. Because the Holy Ghost came and gave us an abstract deed to eternal life when we were born again. Now, is that what he taught? Is that what the prophet taught to us? Here we see that the seal searches the deed. That's what you sealed as far, searching of the deed. And we receive an abstract deed unto the body. And also, listen, unto the earth. Because that's what Adam lost, was eternal life and inheritance of the earth. Because when our body is completely redeemed, then the world will have to follow it. Now you think about that. The world will have to follow it because our body come out of the grave. See, the soul... See, the seal brings an abstract deed to us and shows us that all against us, whether soul or body, has been wiped out. See, we will know that our iniquity is gone before we leave this world. Blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin. Somebody will reach that stage that they don't sin no more. And their iniquity is gone. Somebody will reach it. Somebody will find that place. And that's the place I'm striving for. How is it you know? Because the Holy Spirit comes. How is it you know you're going? Because the headstone comes. Proving your iniquity is already gone in your faith in what you believe. So what do? Just eat the Word. Just keep on eating it. Just keep on listening to it. When you can't even... Sometimes it gets so that I don't even hardly hear a word that's said by the prophet. I keep on reading. I sit in the woods a lot of times and read the Bible when it's just, I would get more thrill in the flesh if I was reading a comic book. But I know that as I read that word, it's going into my mental faculty, and God then can use it. Now watch what he said. When he, the Holy Ghost, is come, he'll bring to your remembrance whatsoever is said. He couldn't bring to those disciples something he hadn't said to them. But he brought to their remembrance what he said. Now, he can't bring to our remembrance something we haven't heard. Get familiar with the message. Get it in there. Just keep feasting on it. Get it in there, because you'll find that's what takes away your iniquity. That's what purges it. Purges out the leaven that you and I have. This flesh has got to be purged before it can be fully inhabited. That's why your word's so rough. It's straight. It tells you what it is. Let's stand together. Father, we've said things, and if, Lord, any that would hear us would think we're picking on them, we're just trying to tell the truth to our people. And Lord, they can do what they want to. Help them not to just sit down and pick at it and say, he's talking about me. Because if, Lord, if it fits them, then I believe it does. They wouldn't do what they're doing. Help us all, Lord. Forgive us. Guide us. People, Lord, will think that I'm critical and ill from now on. But, Lord, I've made my commitment to you this week that I take my stand with your word. And if everybody leaves me, I'll still be standing there screaming against the lives of people. Because I don't believe in trying to talk to other people about this message when the people that's in the message is so filthy and won't straighten their lives. I know mine is so filthy, Lord. I'm honest, I know it is. And I know you'll take care of it, because you promised. Cleanse us from all of those things that would be a hindrance unto us. And gather us together in your word and understanding. Forgive our sins, Lord. Guide us. In Jesus' name. Let's just sing a hymn. If anyone has a need, the altar's open. I know it was the blood, I know it was the blood, I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. Whose blood was it? It was Emmanuel's blood, it was Emmanuel's blood, it was